DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James, and I'm surrounded by two guys who don't know their names.
I forgot.
Well, I wasn't sure if Danny was going to go first, and then I was going to go, or if I should jump in there. If...
Jim, you right, always I'm have Samantha. Priority, buddy.
Honestly, I think from now on, like, I should be the only one who gets his name out cleanly, and the rest of you just jump in.
Just hodgepodge that shit together.
Big old free-for-all. So, we were going to discuss Mary Fuck Kill, but Samantha can't be here.
Who is she?
Samantha?
No, who's Mary Fuck Kill? Is she in the news or something?
Really hot chick that you're not sure if you want to commit to.
Really, okay. Like smoke it, like the hottest chick you've ever seen times a billion, like that. Ooh. Hot, but you don't want to get in bed with her.
She farts under the covers and put your head under. You know, it's
and
it's kinky the first
bad.
Time. Yeah, it smells like chili dogs. And
like burn mustard. Burn the hair off a dog. Bad.
So wait, her farts would do that, or she herself would do that?
A little bit of both. A
little from column A, a lot from column B.
All right, well, fair enough.
So
we'll talk about her next time.
So yeah, we'll talk about her and her cousin Menstrata next week.
Woo! Menstrata. Eric Menstrata.
And I have a question I'd like to pose to the two of you today. And that question is, who are you?
Wow,
I got thinking.
Billy snuck in there quick for you, didn't it, James?
No, I got thinking a little bit later on in my workday about because I'm meeting a lot of different new people at my new job, and it's really exciting. And it got me thinking about our experiences and the things in life that make us who we are. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to, you know, throw that out and talk about different experiences that kind of made us the fucked up mental cases that the three of us are.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Sure. Fuck it. Fine.
So, Dan.
Okay.
Who are you?
I am...
an alcoholic.
Yeah, well, we know. A meat popsicle. I don't know. It's kind of a strange question, to be quite frank with you. I mean, I can understand the mental thought process you went through to get there, but being asked
How about we do this? Since James was the one that came up with it, why don't you go first? That gives Dan and I time an opportunity to kind of gather, you know, a solid base that we can go from, so it's not like, okay, who are you, and go.
Yeah. So, James,
awesome.
Who
okay.
are you?
Well, here's the thing. I am a work in progress. Well,
that's fair. But
I think we all are a work in progress. And here's
nope, perfection right here. Perfection. Double thumbs right to this fucking guy.
The guy sitting next to you? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Totally.
It's okay, Carl. Go back to your Nobel Prize. It's fine.
So I've been thinking a lot about, at least today, like the road that got me to where I am today, and it kind of like triggered a memory. I was coming back from Salem to Newport with a buddy of mine. We had gone to see Iron Maiden and Anthrax at the Salem Armory.
Nice.
And the two of us were talking, and I was in a weird space at the time. I was a junior in high school, hadn't dated anyone, and I was looking a lot at me like, what's wrong with me?
Right.
And my buddy kind of put it in perspective, and from that moment on, like, my junior year in high school was a lot more fun. This, thankfully, it was very early in my junior year, otherwise it would have been, you know, like, oh, great, you tell me this now, I got 3 days left of school, fuck.
Suck in the last day, you're just like, great, you suck at life.
But he basically said that at that point in my life, this is where you really start figuring out who you are as a person and who you want to be as a person. And I took that to heart and went, you know what, you're right. And from that moment on, I've never... Never finished a sentence. Not one. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm who I want to be. And I think that's the point in life. If you ever become who you want to be, you're pretty much cold in a box in the ground.
Well, I don't know that any
I think the whole point of life is to be constantly evolving, constantly learning, and constantly bettering yourself.
True, but then I have to reiterate your question. At this stage in time, who are you?
Who are you?
Who I am is someone who wants to be better. Someone who looks around and is constantly surrounding himself with people who make me think, make me laugh, make me grow as a person.
Aw, shucks, Jim.
That's why I'm friends with Jim.
Aw. Thanks. Just waiting for the kneecap. That's fine. I was already sitting down.
That was a kneecap on Dan. I don't know how you took it as a kneecap.
Serious, bro.
Who I am, I think who I am is a creative person, and I put that creative energy not just with the things I do outside of my work, but in my work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly looking for ways to express myself creatively, thoughtfully. I'm someone
sexually.
Who's... Yes.
Yes, that too.
I'm someone who is... always searching for kind of a new mystery, you know?
All right. Yeah, I buy that.
I'm someone who is now evolving to the point where he's trying new things, be it food, vacation destinations, just trying to live a little bit each day outside of the comfort zone.
That's fair. Because honestly, I think that's important for most people to, if you don't do it all the time, that's fine. But try as you can to always try to break your own box open just for the shits and giggles, just to go, eh, it's a little cold out there, fuck that, I'm going to go back in. Or, hey, this actually works out pretty nice,
yeah, I like that.
If you allow yourself the opportunity to try new things, whether it be food, music, movies, theater, whatever you want. Something for entertainment. And I know food's
crystal
not necessary. Well, you know what? There is a grace period in one's life where sometimes...
Jim, are you channeling Bryce right now?
A little bit.
Or does he have a bead on you? And
you're... Say the fucking joke.
He's got a chip in my brain, so you can just sort of... switch it on like a PA system
up,
and just like...
Holding up the occasional cue cards and just tapping the barrel of the gun.
The mana.
Well, that's fair.
But I think most importantly for me right now, given how this past year has gone for so many people around me, I'm a person who's kind of trying to come to terms with mortality and legacy.
Dude. Yeah. I'm with you there.
So I think, in kind of a nutshell, that's who I am currently.
All right.
If you ask me in 6 months, the answer could completely change.
I'm a rodeo clown.
Well, we kind of knew that.
That's what James would say is his answer in 6 months.
I was just going to let that awkward silence just linger.
Well, all right.
I prefer fester.
Just rot. All right, so I think I understand your premise here. If y'all don't mind, Jim, do you mind if I go next?
By all means, please.
No, Jim's still taking his personality test, so you're fine.
Fuck, my thetans are off.
Do I consider myself more of a liar or a thief? It's hard to say.
It's touchy. I would say, for me, I think... you know, growing up, the way that I kind of did, you know, it was a matter of when I was fairly young, my parents got divorced. And, you know, although that heartbreak kind of dug in deep early,
mm-hmm.
one thing I did gain from that was an ability to see a situation from multiple points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And so it taught me perspective. You know, whenever you think you're right about something, know that there's another half of the story that could, in theory, make you wrong. And that's something I've always developed, and I'm continually trying to develop it in the respects that that's why I always play the DA. Anytime we have conversations, especially at band practice, you can attest to,
yeah.
my job is to play the devil's advocate in the respects that it's not that I don't agree with your initial thought, it's that I want to challenge your initial thought to open you up to the possibility that what you believe may not be correct or right or whatever you'd like to call it. And that's not to say that I'm wrong, you know, all the time, because a lot of the time I am, but to expand that thought.
96% of the time, according to my scorecard.
Well, and according to Dan, it's 100%. But
yeah, still. But he's not here, so he doesn't count.
But it's one of those things where I really like doing that because it not only helps me further my ability for perspectives, but it also helps other people see a different point of view. And if I can argue yeah. that to a point, it makes me feel like there's knowledge growing rather than it just being, oh, fuck this guy. Yeah, fuck this guy. Woo! There's no.
Because if all someone ever does is like, well, this is my thoughts and they're right and that's it. And it's my way or no way.
Exactly.
You know, without being able to see things from additional points of view, that's how, like, really bad, you know, habits and prejudices will sort of come into play.
It's how wars start.
Because, yeah, exactly. Until you're able to sort of see things from somebody else's standpoint, empathy being chief. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a devil's advocate and not have empathy. I mean, I think the two kind of have to go hand in hand because part of that is being like, okay, well, how would I feel in that sort of situation? Or how would exactly. else somebody else think in that sort of, you know, set of situations?
And that's pretty much where I'm at yeah. with it. It's like, it's not only an experiment to expand the person I'm talking to's thought process, but a way to expand my own thought process by making me think, how could this be wrong?
Yeah.
And if I open myself up to that thought process, it allows me to come to the table with a much more diverse thought process and try to change the direction of it in and of itself. And again, sometimes it rounds out to where it's like, you know, they bring up something like, I don't know, just stupid topics that I would completely wholeheartedly agree with. The Holocaust was bad. It's like, absolutely, I agree. But then the part of me in my head is like, but I will say this, the survival from the people who did survive it and learned something from it gave us exponential amounts of knowledge and art and stories and drama and passion that came out from this horrible atrocity. And on top of that, had it never happened, we would probably see it happen again and probably on a much grander scale. But since that happened, it gave us perspective to go, this is not okay, and we're not okay with it. So to do a blanket statement like the Holocaust is bad, don't get me wrong, again, I agree. But a lot of great things came out of that tragedy. And people evolved and became much smarter, much more intelligent.
Up until 2016.
Well, you know, we have to revert once in a while to remind ourselves why we shouldn't do that. But
I see that more as, you know, not necessarily, you know, I see it more as these are light posts that should serve as, you know, remember this point, remember that this happened, remember that these people suffered and had to evolve into, like you said, the stories and the knowledge that was gained from having to survive something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, people, you know, seem to want to distance themselves from that terrifying reality, and that's why the old adage is still true today. Like, you know, learn your fucking history or you're going to be doomed to goddamn repeat it, and it happens again and again and again.
Exactly.
So I'm basically playing devil's advocate on a devil's advocate, you know.
I like it.
So,
a lot of advocates in here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's very much true, though, in the fact that, you know, some people are so terrified of being wrong. I mean, and just they can't fathom the concept of anything else but except for how they think and how they believe, that they, you know, they lose their mind if they're forced to change the way they think or to be proved wrong. It's, you know, humans are so, you know, fallible that it's, you know, that we've been born into this weird generation where we just, you know, we believe that we can't, we're all right. We all have, if you buy the right cell phone and you watch the right shows and, you know, you have, you know, all the right fucking, you know, movies in your queue or whatever, then you're never going to be wrong, you know, and that there's no possible way, like, if you have the right opinions or if you listen to the right podcasts, another podcast available every week, this fine
wrong
website.
One. You know,
checks in the mail, you know? Jim. Thank you.
Good job.
No problem. If you listen to the right sort of bobbling heads, then if they say the things that you agree with, that doesn't make them right. You know, it's just it gets so infuriating because there are people out there like us that have the ability to think outside of our own, you know, perspectives, and, you know, allow that to be a possibility. And yet it seems the voices that are heard now more than ever are the ones that are just like, no, it's white, male, run, this is how things are. Everything else that is not that, rich, white, male
yes.
mentality.
That it's, one's important.
Because we poor.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm white and, you know, I'm, you know.
Half right.
Male-ish.
Ish.
So, you know, I mean, I don't get to run anything except, I can't even run my own goddamn house, so I got a 2-year-old that will listen to fucking me, you know, but if I had a goddamn $1 trillion, then fuck yeah, I could get people to fucking pull their own dicks off and throw them against a wall, you know, it'd be a new game show, it'd be on Fox, you know, it'd probably be after The Simpsons or something like that, it'd be like a mid-season
Jim's
replacement.
Dick toss!
Dick on wall! Well, and the funny thing about it is...
Well, actually, no. Obviously, the name of the show would be Balls to the Wall. Come on. I mean,
well, you said they were taking their dicks off, not their balls.
Yeah, that's false advertising,
bro. That's misleading.
Man, fuck you.
No. Listen, rich white male talking. Thank you.
Sorry. Don't look him in the eye.
And it kind of goes back to what you're talking about there, Jim. One of the things that I always really appreciated, and it's a thought process that I love going over, is I believe it was Aristotle who posed the question, what is right action? And again, as I've explained this to people before, it's not a question to be answered, but a question to be pondered. What is right for you may not be right for somebody else. What is right for a large mass and may not be right for a smaller group. So, in essence, what truly is right action? And the only things that we can do to constantly ponder that question in the best way possible is to analyze everything we possibly can. When it comes down to, you know, okay, you're going to the store and you're buying that giant fucking roast and you're like, oh, I'm going to fuck this meat. Think to yourself, is that right action? And then when you come around to yes, take it home and have your way.
The inevitable yes.
The inevitable yes.
When I walk into the meat department, the butcher just starts weeping into his apron. He's like, oh, God.
But again, it's one of those thought processes that made me who I am to this day. And, you know, the cool part about trying to gain perspectives is it allows me to be a sympathetic ear for people I value, because it allows me to step back and say, you know what, let's hear what you got to say from your point of view. Whether or not I agree with it or not at the time, I will talk about it and I will light debate with you, but I will not tell you you are wrong, because it's how you feel, it's how you are. And apparently that seems to work out well for me, just from person to person, and I like that about who I am. But on top of that, I mean, aside from all the, you know, conversationalist parts of my brain that I use for analyzation, I also am a product of just doing things that make me happy. Because to me, just like you were saying, and just like I brought up, trying something new is important in everyone's life. For me, it's a matter of if I enjoy doing something, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try to do it the best I can. not going to be, you know, a serial killer, because I highly doubt that I would find that enjoyable unless certain people were involved. However...
Don't knock it till you
try
it.
Not with that kind of attitude.
I'm just saying, the downside to doing something like that is it's a flash in the pan kind of thing. It's not very repeatable in the respects of if you
Again,
have
not with that
people.
Attitude.
No, but at the same time, it's like, music is
Reach
my
for the
one.
Sky, brother.
Dare to dream.
The Cheeto.
Dare to dream.
Just the Cheeto. But, no, my thing about it is music is something that I genuinely love doing, even when I suck ass at it. And there are a lot of instruments that I own that I am terrible at, but I love playing them. I love just trying. And then when I figure something out, it quickens me even more, and it allows me to go, oh, that is exactly what I wanted to do. And I do it again and again and again and over again, and it's what I find truly enjoyable in life. And then hanging out with my buddies and shooting the shit and making each other laugh, that's something I enjoy as well, which is why I make the effort to do stuff like this, because I genuinely enjoy it, and I'm very thankful and very appreciative of the fact that you guys let me be a part of this clusterfuck.
Well, we lost a
debauchery.
Bet, so.
Well, it works out for me, you know, I'm just saying. However it came about, it works out for me, but it's like, that's who I am.
It quickens you, like, you know, beheading another musician and taking their power?
Well,
I've
once
seen
you
him do it,
from
it's beautiful.
Their skull, I mean, you absorb their talent. It's kind of like old, you know, cartoon shows where, you know, or no, it's like Highlander, for instance. Yeah,
that's what he was getting.
Yeah, exactly. There can be only one, but there's a lot, so there can only be like 6 million in a proximal area. But
yeah, but each one is a one. So I mean, there can be only one.
Yeah, but the sucking part about it is when you get a musician who sucks worse than you. Yeah, you go backwards. It doesn't work like Highlander, where you always get better. No, no, no. If you take down somebody whose skill level
that's
is
that's why the band's
again.
Gotten worse.
Exactly.
I joined, and
I'm
it just brought everyone down.
Fuck.
Well, it's called an axe for a reason, so take that guitar and fucking take their fucking head off.
Well, I'm just saying. But, no, that's pretty much who I am in a nutshell, though. I like helping people. I like being around people who are happy because it genuinely makes me happy.
Why the fuck are you here?
Because I can get a giggle out of you every now and again, Jim. And I really
That's true.
I love making you giggle.
Okay, tickle his taint. Tickle his taint.
Oh, I got more meat to show you too, buddy.
You know, you do realize, like I said, it's like gore porn when you put the little knife next to it. It's like, oh yeah.
Nice and sharp shiny. But you know, that's why I like this crap. Because it's just good.
Just picture poor Malia. Every time Jim's phone dings and he checks it out and gets up to go to the bathroom, she's just like, who sent you another barbecue picture? And
nobody.
Jim's like, no one. I gotta go to the bathroom. Might be a while.
Be right back.
Need my phone. Go to sweetbabyrays.com.
He's the only one in the Hormel family.
Some women wear lingerie to bed. Malia douses herself in barbecue sauce.
That's the way to do it, though.
Yeah. It's a kind of lubricant. It was a Queen song. It's a kind of lubricant. Also, strange enough, from the Highlander soundtrack. So that's two references.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim. Fire. Who are you?
You ask, like, the worst fucking question to the worst person to answer that question. Fuck, man. I don't know. I'm 41 years old. I have no goddamn clue. I can give you some ideas, because at this point I have no idea.
Shoot from the hip, baby. Shoot from the hip.
Well, I'm a product of a lot of trauma and a lot of abuse, so that kind of stunned me in a lot of ways, which is where the humor kind of comes in as like a mask and a defense mechanism and something that I just kind of use to kind of hide behind a lot. And, you know, I realized that I'm the kind of person who, you know, if I'm like wandering through just like a mire of like, you know, depression or, you know, sadness or whatever, and I stumble across, you know, a friend of mine, or sometimes even like a complete stranger, and I see them having like an equally bad or worse time, you know, I just drop all my shit and I just focus on them and just sort of like, you know, try and get them through that whole thing. Because somehow that at least allows me to kind of turn the volume down on my own shit for a while, and I get to sort of focus on making them feel better. And then by making them feel better, I get to, I get like a small, like tiny little, you know, nugget of, you know, happiness back, you know. And for years, I couldn't understand why it was that I would wander around with the mindset of, you know, I could see that I had amassed, you know, a lot of, you know, awesome friends and, you know, had some, you know, serviceable talents, I guess. But at the end of the day, like, if I looked at myself in the mirror, I didn't like the guy I saw. I guess parts of me still don't. And, you know, I it took me forever to kind of figure out why. And so I started going into therapy and to try and help kind of crack that nut a little bit, which was already kind of cracked to begin with. But, you know, it's something where I've seen the pain and I've felt the pain that was dealt to me, and I don't want that to ever happen to anybody else, even somebody that I don't like. You know, I mean, well, except for, you know, a certain Cheeto in Chief, that then I would like to see have like the worst, slowest, most painful cancer of all. But anybody else, like, I just, you know, if I got a friend and they're in need, I you know, and it's feasible, I drop everything, and it's like I have an obligation to be there, not because, you know, they need me there, just because it's like, no, I'm their friend. And that's kind of like when I call you my friend or my buddy or my brother or whatever it is like that, like, I don't just say those words lightly. Like, you've earned that spot for a reason. And, you know, regardless of whether or not, you know, something shitty has happened to you or you fucked up royal, you know, I've been on both ends of that spectrum. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, at this point, like, I'm still trying to figure it all out. Like, I'm fucking, like I said, I'm 41. I'm living in my high school bedroom, staring at the same four walls. I'm doing that literally right now, you know, and I can remember, like, you know, stupid posters that I used to have hanging up in here. And it's like, what am I doing right now? How am I advancing this forward? I'm living, basically, I'm the kind of person that's living, a reactive life as opposed to an active life. Like, I'm allowing life to kind of happen to me and not really doing much to kind of make it happen for myself.
I don't know that I buy that.
Well,
not to disagree with you there, Biggin, but it's...
Oh, you gonna play devil's advocate? All right.
No, well, kind of, in the respect that...
Strap on the horns.
It takes a certain level of desire to do some of the things you've done. I mean, let's look at it from my point of view in the way, way third party. I remember listening to your voice on the radio, which is something I can't really say to most people. However,
and something James, you've never apologized for.
Never. Not a once, you jerk. Your stage performance that you just recently did. Again, there are not many people in my life, and I've, you know, when I was in high school, I was in the acting troops. I was in the band classes and all that kind of shit. Of my friends that I had in high school who loved the theater and loved the arts, zero of them have ever progressed past their day-to-day grind. So, I mean, in and of itself, that's something special, too. There is a drive in you that will propel you forward. And again, with radio and things like that and comedy in general... Again, these are just three things that I know of, just like I said, from a third-party point of view, that I can honestly say nobody else I know has done those three things. And those are three big fucking things.
Thank you.
So count yourself not only talented, not going to blow you too hard today, but talented, as well as you do have initiative to take from life what you desire. And although it's hard as fuck because the things that you desire are, as we all know, really difficult to be a part of. I mean, radio, not the easiest gig to get. When you get it, it's fucking amazing. Theater, to land a lead role more or less than anything else, really fucking hard.
Especially on your first try after how many years?
Serious, bro.
I mean, you walked in and owned the place, and you weren't even really trying to.
Yeah, we got people who've gone through Juilliard who still haven't gotten a lead role in anything.
Well, okay, then send them to the Hershey area playhouse.
I'm just saying, it does take a certain level of initiative in life to get these things that you have, and that to me is still impressive.
I see where you're going with all this, and I'm not trying to make this into, like, you know, all right, well, let's make this a pity party.
No, of course.
I mean,
not.
That's the other thing too that I dislike about, you know, aspects of myself is a lot of times that's kind of, you know, or used to be a real casual, or not a casual, but a very frequent go-to would be, like, you know, I hungered for attention. I also came from a divorced family, so that, again, like you said, gives you a sense of perspective from multiple points of view. And I have that similar kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily contrarian, but just that multi-angle viewpoint of anything that comes my way. I try not to see anything in just a black and a white kind of situation, and try and see all the subtle grays that may exist, mm-hmm. regardless of how ludicrous most people might see it as.
Hi.
There is always that possibility that at least somehow this could be, or at least should be, acknowledged, maybe not acted upon or supported in any way, but at least right. acknowledge that this is something that is a possibility. You know, and so, you know, just in all those different capacities, I abstractly will look at, you know, the majority of the chunks of my life, and I, unfortunately, being back here in Lancaster, I see all my friends that I went to high school with, and various other, you know, outside of school acquaintances and friends, and I see that, like, they adulted up. They finally got to that point, like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I have a career, and I have, like, a place that I go to, and it's, you know, not just a job, but, like, you know, an actual, you know, I got friends that I used to fucking play, like, not quite SCA, but, like, SCA-ish, kind of, like, you know, just sticking around in a park.
Right.
You know, and now they're teachers, and they're fucking, like, they have suits and ties, and they drive fancy cars, and they go to work, and they have nice houses and stuff. And I'm like, I'm waiting for that, you know, my problem is consistency. I get good spurts. If you give me a direction to move in, I can move on it, you know, but the problem is when I'm doing it for somebody else, that's when that initiative occurs. When I'm trying to do it for myself, I might start out kind of hot, but I cool off real quick. A lot of that has to do with the fact that my attention deficit being what it is, it's hard for me to stay focused on certain things and not berate myself down on things that I had fallen short with in the past. Like, there's a lot of broken fragments in here, but I know deep down at my central core is a really good person, you know, a person that genuinely cares about, you know, is my friends, my family, and complete fucking strangers. Like, you know, if I'm going to a restaurant or whatever, and I try my best to kind of read the people around me. If I can tell my server's having a shit day, I won't make their life a living hell. Like, at the end of the meal, I stack all the fucking dishes, I put the silverware on top and the garbage off to the side so they can just bust the shit real quick and get it the fuck off and move on without their day. Give a good tip. Fucking hold a door. Say please and thank you. Crack a joke with whoever it is that's behind the counter at your grocery store. You know, I try and shed, you know, bring little joy to other people, random strangers. Those are my favorite kind of connections, you know, and those are the things about myself that I genuinely love and cherish.
As
because regardless of all the other shit that I kind of had to wade through, you know, during the early parts of my life, none of that was ever tarnished. And if anything, that was fueled by that, and was able to help me develop into a person that I actually, you know, the parts of me that I don't hate, I actually genuinely love a great deal about. You know, I'm a complex onion that's broken on one side and it's kind of cybernetic on the other, and there's a kickstand and it's leaking something that might be meat on
we
the other side.
We are Borg.
It's...
Yes, we are Borg.
Yeah, something along those. So yeah, like I said, I don't know how to answer that question.
Can I make an observation here, Jim?
Sure. It's your dime.
I've seen you at your best, and I won't say I've seen you at your worst, but I've seen you at some low points.
Yeah.
And the thing that I admire about you is your bounce back, your ability to essentially grieve through whatever it is that you're suffering through and do it quickly, put it aside, and then move forward.
I don't know about quickly. There's some shit that's still in the hopper.
Well, and that's what I was... That's was going to be my next observation, is that I've seen you go out of your way to try and make others feel better, and I'm curious as to if that's a way to avoid dealing with some of the issues from your past, and that's why those issues maybe come back and essentially haunt you. Maybe that's part of the reason that you have trouble, you know, with consistency, as you say.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, and yeah, then and because you're someone I value, you're someone I care about, I want to help you. And unfortunately, this isn't something that, you know, you can say a few words and suddenly, oh, it all makes sense and it all goes away. It's an inward journey. And I think maybe it's an inward journey that maybe you might be afraid to make, because you're afraid of, A, dealing with all that stuff, but also afraid of what you could be when you get through it.
Yeah, fear of... No, one of the things that my therapist and I talked about was, you know, he's like, do you think you have a fear of failure or a fear of success? And I said, yes. You would be correct on both fronts. Like, it's both. And what the other part of it that makes it even more difficult, to add another layer to the onion, is just the fact that I know I've got, you know, scores and scores of people that, you know, that I can be this open with, and I don't, you know, I don't make any kind of bones about, like, the fact that, you know, if you want to ask, you know, I'll tell you, you know, this shit's broken pretty badly.
Yeah.
But then they want to help, and I'm just like, I feel uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to have anybody help me.
You don't like bringing other people into your problems, because you feel it's almost, because I think I know exactly what you're talking about, because to some degree, Jim, you and I are very much the same. Like with my recent events, you know, my father passing away, the one thing I hated doing was listening to everybody tell me how sorry they were for me. It's like, you know what? I'll be okay. Tell me, you know, that you're doing okay. Let me know that you're all right and that you're doing okay. It's like my brother and my sister, for instance, you know, my biggest concern after going through all this was not, oh, how am I going to get through this? My first thought was, how are they dealing with this? How are they functioning through it? How are they, you know, dealing with their grief in a way that helps them move forward? Is there a way I can help them? Is there something I can do to, you know, ease this passing of time a little bit? And because
basically what that's doing is it's making you feel like you're the mascot for their death, or for your father's death.
Exactly. And unfortunately, I mean, a lot of what happened in, you know, my father and mine's situation, a lot of it did wrap a lot around me. I spent the last 7 years caretaking for him, you know.
Jesus.
And it was a matter of, before that, you know, I want to say for the last 15 years, my father and I were very, very close. He was my best friend. You know, I spent as much time with him as I humanly possibly could. And we had a regiment. And, you know, then he got really badly sick and I started taking care of him. I started taking care of the house. And it got to a head where I actually moved in with him, with my wife, to kind of alleviate some of his burdens, as well as try to square up the house a little bit better. And him and I kind of came to butt heads a lot about how things were run around the house, because he kind of refused to quit smoking weed when his lungs were what was killing him.
Jesus.
As well as he was kind of being a pain in the ass about the whole cigarette thing too. Again, it was one of those things, since I moved in, I was trying to stand a little bit more on principle to try to get the point drilled in, but yeah, we ended up butting heads really, really hard over it. And October 23rd, 2017, I moved out. Because I couldn't do it. My wife, she had troopered through it the best she could, but it wasn't something that she even wanted to begin with. but she sucked it up for me because mm-hmm. I needed to try. And then when it didn't work out and I saw how much it was stressing all three of us out, we moved out October 23rd, and the 13th of November is when he passed away.
Shit.
So it was a heavy shot to my core, because I knew deep down that had I stuck it out longer, he'd still be here, which was a very jagged pill to swallow, in the respects that everyone kept telling me, you did the best you could. You were there for him all the time. You did everything that was humanly possible. And I just wanted to tell him that's bullshit. It's like, I could have done more. I should have sucked it up. I should have been more there for him. Even though this had completely encompassed the better part of my life for the last 7 years.
Yeah, and it had become a thoroughly toxic situation that, very like you said, so. It was tearing you and your wife apart. It was obviously damaging your relationship with your father. If fighting with you was the one thing that was keeping him alive, then what kind of quality of life is that?
And that was something I kind of had to come to terms with. But the thing about it was, is after it was all over and done with, I had my week-long, sessions of regrets. We'll call it that.
Oh, yeah.
And I danced with that really hard for, over almost 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I really, really had to dance with those a lot. Because there was a part of me that wanted to believe everything everyone was telling me. And there was another part of me that was calling bullshit. But again, the primary part of who I am was more concerned about my mother. You know, although they were divorced and separated for almost like 15 plus years, her and my father had finally rekindled something of a relationship that she actually valued. She liked talking to my father. She liked helping him out. She liked going over and cleaning his house. Granted, he was a little bit of a brash speaker, and she didn't quite know how to play, so they kind of butted heads once in a while. But they did have a friendship rekindled after a very long separation, and so I was worried about her. And then I was worried about my sister, who, moved away when she was 20, and she's been everywhere from Hawaii to Germany, and now she lives in Idaho. Not sure why, but that's where she
really
to put roots.
Potatoes.
Dude, I fucking love potatoes, but they sell them here,
Not like they
pretty
do
sure
there.
You could get a fucking potato in Germany.
Right.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, and it was one of those things where I felt bad for my sister, because she felt like she left all of this baggage for my brother and I to handle. And so she was beating herself up over the fact that she wasn't there and that she didn't get a chance to spend more time with him and, a lot of stuff like that. And so I felt so terrible for her, and so I tried to make it as easy as possible for her. And then my brother, he had had a hard time really kind of clicking with my old man. I mean, they were always buddies, but he didn't spend that much time with him for the longest time, because he was going through some rough patches too. And I know that my brother is a very stoic griever, in the respects that if something bothers him, he'll kind of lock it up and just, bite down hard and try to get through the day. But eventually it builds up and it kicks him in the teeth. And whether it comes out in him just breaking down or him, finding other outlets that aren't necessarily healthy either, it was a matter of I was worried about him as well. And I was more so worried about those three people than anybody else, including myself. And it's like, it's because you and I, Jim, and I even think James is a little bit like this, but we're pariahs. I think for us, there's an instinctual part built into our coding that makes us want to help others more than we help ourselves, in order for us to feel better. When we see the joy in other people, it makes us happy. When we see the sorrow in other people, we feel for them. And we want to do anything we can to help them. But when that's turned around on us and we're in a shitty fucking spot, it's really hard for us to go, I don't know what I need, but I need help. Because there's a part of us that doesn't even want it. It's like, no, this is not my job. We are the stones by which the waves crash upon. We are not the waves. And it sucks for us, because then it means a lot of the things that we have going on get internalized.
Well, and also I think there's something within that says, I deserve this.
Aye. Ooh, yeah. Deserve is a tough word for me to swallow.
Yeah, but I mean...
Same here.
But what I mean by that is whenever you have that suffering, that the bad times, there's part of you that doesn't want to ask for help because something inside is, I deserve this pain.
Aye.
Oh, aye. Yeah. You didn't finish that sentence. You just said, I deserve
this. Well, you all cut me off with, oh, I don't know if I deserve...
Shut up, James.
But what I'm saying is you almost thrive in your own misery. You know? You don't necessarily want it, but when that badness comes, you kind of covet it, you know? You protect it. You don't want help because you thrive in that pain.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah. But at the same time, I think I would restate it in the respects that, like, I know this is the same topic I've been talking about, but I think one of the reasons why I wasn't so necessarily in need of assistance in this situation was because my father had been dancing on the fucking edge of oblivion for, well, at least the last 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so leading up to this point, I had convinced myself prior to it that I was ready for the end. But I was not prepared to watch it happen.
Mm.
And that's what ate me alive, was watching it happen on a slow, grueling, steady pace. And then once it finally did happen, I didn't know how to take it. Because a part of my mind was telling me, dude, we prepared for this. We already kind of figured this out. What the fuck is a holdup?
Yeah.
And then the rest of me is like, here's a lot of shit you didn't think about.
Mm.
Like the fact that every day when you hear a song on 92.3, you're like, fuck, I know he loves that song. Shit. Or it's like the Mountain Dew that I just found. It's a new gamer fuel, but it's like tropical fucking punch. It tastes like a Mountain Dew Mai Tai. And ooh, the first time I had it was shortly after he had passed, and I was like, oh my fucking God, I know he would love this. Because he loved those tropical fucking drinks, yeah, and he loved Mountain Dew, and so it was like, he would have fucking dug it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it hits you right in the gut, it's like, that's something you didn't fucking think about. And that's what was the hard parts for me, you know. My mom and everyone else kept telling me, don't dwell on the woulda, coulda, shouldas, don't dwell on the bad. It's like, it's not the bad that tears me apart. The bad, I'm already over. It's the all good, the good shit that
you
I
can't
had
share, yeah,
and can't have anymore. I wish I had some lyrics that I wrote down because I got into a bit of a funk a couple of days ago. And right now, the working title is Love Not Shared. And it's like, it came from kind of the bottom reaches of where I was feeling. But at the same time, it was nice to get it out on, you know, pad and paper. But again, I wasn't worried so much about my state. I knew I was going to pull through. I knew I was going to be okay. And I don't necessarily thrive in pain. When I'm in pain, it slows me down to a crawl. And I tend to just go through the motions just to get through the day. You know, it's just not even really trying. When I thrive most is when I finally am able to kick myself in the ass and go, what the fuck are we doing wasting all this time? Why are we wasting time? Even if we're unsuccessful, yeah, why are we wasting time? You know, it's something internalized that I am able to do, and I know a lot of people aren't so, you know, able to pull that off. But it's a matter of, I always think of back when I was in high school, and I used to get stoned a lot. And I remember the last time I smoked weed in high school, I was sitting in my room, I just smoked a fat bowl, and it was so good that I literally sat in my chair for almost an hour and a half staring at a blank TV screen. And my first thought after about that first hour was like, what the fuck am I doing? I mean, if time is all that we have, it's the only guarantee.
Mm.
Now, it's not guaranteed how much of it we get, but it's guaranteed that it's going to keep going with or without us.
Yeah.
If time is the only guarantee, what am I doing with my time right now? I'm sitting in my fucking chair staring at a blank TV screen. I could be playing a video game, which would at least be like reading a fucking electronic book, you know?
Yeah.
You get to go through an experience. You get to see something. You get to do something. And it gave me that perspective to go, this is wasting my fucking time. I'm done. Although it feels really nice, it's a kick once in a while, maybe around friends. I end up doing it by myself. I'm wasting my time.
Yeah.
And on top of that, my grades were failing because I was skipping class to get stoned. So I was getting in trouble with my parents. And, you know, it was a kaleidoscope of stupid shit on stupid shit. And it was a simple solution. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Try something different. Try not doing it. Try going out there. And honestly, my buddy Josh was a good key factor in this because he was very much an extrovert. And he was one of the very few people I'd met growing up that was. And so I fed off of that. So him and I, once we decided we were done, God, we fucking blew up. My junior year in high school was by far the most active I ever was. And I still loved it. And it was a matter of I did drama, I was in the fucking symphonic orchestra, doing shows in Canada, doing shows at the school. I was on dragon boats, doing matches at the Rose Festival, and then going up to Canada to do matches up there in Vancouver, BC. And I mean, I had a fucking blast. And all I had to do was just not sit on my ass and do nothing. And it's those moments that kick me out of my grief, out of my sorrow, out of anything that's bothering me, and just reminds me, dude, clock's ticking, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Get your ass up. I don't care if you fucking clean a room. Do something.
Yeah, everything could end tomorrow.
Yeah, and you're going to be like, fuck, I really wish I had taken the garbage out when she told me to.
Especially with the fucking state of affairs across the world. There is no guarantee that time will continue for us.
It will.
I mean,
maybe not for us, but it will.
I mean,
yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. I mean, there is no, like you said, there is no guarantee of a tomorrow.
Why?
You have today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And sometimes that's as good as you're going to get. So how, you know, there's a lot of country songs that's like, if tomorrow never comes, things like that. And those were all songs that kind of put my life into perspective, because I was always big into country when I was a little kid. And growing up, I never quite let it go. And it was a matter of, it gave me a nice perspective. It's like, okay, so if tomorrow never came, if tomorrow doesn't come, how am I going to feel about today? Well, today, I had a good day at work. My psycho bitch of a boss wasn't there. So I had a really good, productive day at work. After I got off work, I ran home, did laundry at the laundromat, read a couple of chapters out of Dune, which was very enjoyable.
Nice.
Picked the wife up.
Dude, I'm really enjoying it so far. Picked the wife up, went and did grocery shopping, had a ball doing it. Came home, slammed in some instant mashed potatoes and one of those pre-made meatloafs from Safeway, which
what?
Aren't bad.
No tater tots?
Dude, I didn't have time for tater tots, bro.
but it's there's like, always time for tater tots.
Not when there's a podcast. So yeah, I had that, sat down with the wife, talked with her. She was doing dishes when I left. I said, I love you. I walked out the door and here I am. And if tomorrow never came and it stopped right this second, I feel like I would die with at least some contentment in the respects that not only did I feel very productive through my last day, but I was with people I enjoyed being with.
Mm.
And for that, oh, and I talked to my mom on the phone while I was doing my laundry, because who doesn't talk to their mom while they're doing laundry? I'm just saying.
Crazy people.
Right? So, I mean, again, for me, it's a matter of I try to do the small, stupid things. I mean, if, just like you always say, you know, perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
In the respects that I could perceive my day as, oh, I went to work, I had to get up, I was tired, I got my ass kicked at work. And then I had to rush home, grab laundry, go to the laundromat, sit there and do laundry all day. Then I had to rush, grab the wife, and go to the grocery store, fight the lines, get home, unload, eat an unsatisfactory dinner, and then here I am.
That would be your reality if it all ended.
Well, that would be the way that I would perceive it. Now, the way that I did perceive it was the way that I shot it to you guys initially. I actually really like doing laundry at the laundromat. Because I get a chance to read. And when I got a good book, it's even better.
Mm.
I throw on Lord of the Rings soundtrack and I just go. And
especially if you've got more than one load to do at a time. You can just bang them all out at once.
Well, that's the thing. It's like most of the time my loads of laundry are one in the big drum of the washer machine and then I split it for two in the dryer. And it's like, yeah, it works out perfect, but it's still only like an hour and a half or something like that to do laundry. And it's,
but that's an hour and a half you can lose yourself in whatever world
exactly
that you're reading from.
So rather than seeing it as, oh, I had to do that, and then I had to rush home after the groceries. No, for me, it was fun to go around the store, and my wife were placing bets on how much groceries were going to cost this week. And I won. Closest bid without going over. Price is Right rules.
What'd you win?
The satisfaction of saying I was right.
Someone's sleeping on the couch again.
Nah.
More meat.
Dude, yeah, and I got some cheap meats, too. It was good. Mm. But it was still, it's one of those things where I got a laugh out of just the stuff we were doing in the store. I enjoy spending time with my wife. Although dinner was not a gourmet meal by any stretch of the imagination, it was tasty, hit the spot. My wife enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking to her. We actually have been sitting down at the dining room table to eat dinner rather than just plopping it on the couch, which for me is really nice because I came to find out that I like to talk to her a lot. And when we eat in front of the TV, we don't talk that much. And then when we go to bed and we're supposed to be going to sleep, I talk to her. And it bugged her, so I was like, well, let's just sit at the dinner table then. I'll just talk to you there. But I enjoy the things I do. And although they may seem small and monotonous and, you know, somewhat useless.
Unexciting.
Yeah, unexciting. To me, it is the fabric of the time that I spend. It's the things that I enjoy remembering on a day-to-day basis. You know, it may be stupid, it may be small, it may be insignificant, but I enjoy them, and that's why I continue to do them. You know, I mean, over the weekend, I cleaned out the spare bedroom. You have no fucking idea how happy I was at the end of that day. I was like, yes, yes, I can do anything! And I felt great, because it was something that got done. And it's like, nobody else in the world gives a shit that my spare room is now neat and organized and tidy and clean. Nobody.
I do.
Well, you'd be happy to know it's neat and tidy and clean.
Picture didn't happen.
All right, I'll send you a pic right after I send you my meat pic.
Well, if you guys should bring some meat into the room that's all neat and tidy, ooh, I think that would be like a, you know.
Dude, I just put some fajita strip steak in a Tupperware with some fajita seasoning in it with some water. Mm. I'll hold the Tupperware in the frame of the picture in my spare room just for you, baby.
I am touching myself thinking about that.
What's really funny is I don't think he's joking.
But again, those are the things I think that make me the happiest is when I feel like I'm doing something that I enjoy, whether it's just talking to my wife over dinner or it's cleaning a room or it's playing a new song or it's beating a level on a video game or, you know, getting to that next chapter in a book and really getting into it. I mean, these are small, simple things that anybody can do that I think sometimes we take for granted because we don't think of them as grand gestures enough to the grand scale of time. And for me, time doesn't give a shit about me or anything else. It's letting me ride for now. We'll see how long it lasts, but for right now, I'm going to do what I can to just enjoy every last waking fucking second. Even if it's, you know, sitting in the shitter watching YouTube videos. It's good times.
And this was the final broadcast anyone ever had from Danny Paul Hedum.
I was going to say, that was very well fucking said, man.
Well, thank you.
And I don't think we can say anything better than that.
No, that's
so
it. That's,
I say
that's
we close this
mic,
bitch.
That's the mic drop right there.
So, on behalf of Danny and Jim, this is James saying thank you for joining us on this very therapeutic session. And we'll see you
not
next
another
week.
Therapy session.
And in honor of Jim, this episode will be titled Fuck You.
Fuck You.
We'll see you next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not a July, and you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.